Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again. I'm so excited. It's Podcast Friday. Al, what are you saying?
Well, of course, Podcast Friday is always a lot of fun. You and I both enjoy it. What's really unique sometimes is being able to reconnect with some of the guests that we've had on before and see a little bit of their evolution and see where some of the changes that they've made and just catching up. So I think today is a great opportunity to do that as we've got a repeat guest.
Well, you said it, back on the show, Subi Al-Sayed, CEO at Culture Rebellion, back on the show. Subi, good to see you.
Great to be back here. Thanks for having me, guys.
So, Subi, you and I have kept in touch, and we've had some great conversations. And it's funny what I say about the podcast, and I don't know if people realize how much this happens, but I'm always grateful that it does. You meet a guest, you feel like you're aligned in values and who you are as people, and you become friends. And it's nice that we've developed that friendship and we've kept in touch. And then part of keeping in touch is like, hey, what's going on now? What's going on in your world? And things have changed quite a bit, actually, since we chatted last time. So I was hoping you'd be up for a round two and we can talk about what you're doing now. Sound good?
Amazing. Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, and thank you both for giving people like me that opportunity to share experience with others, because to me, that's a big part of life, sharing experience. People learn from it, get inspired by it. So that's great.
Well, if only we had a podcast title that focused on sharing clues, teasing out clues. Okay, we'll have to think about that a little further, but let's jump into it. So you transitioned from launching your own beverage brand, that's what we talked about last time, to now licensing your fermentation technology to other producers, which is, to me, you know, when we talked about it, like, that's a bold shift in strategy, right?
Right.
What sparked the pivot? Like, and what opportunities do you see moving from your first product first model to now B2B?
There's always multiple things that happen. I mean, technology was always in the background. We're building it anyways. So it's not like we suddenly became a technology company. It's just we changed how we deliver the value to the customers, which now is to beverage companies as opposed to individuals. What really changed many things, at one point, I realized that launching your own beverage brand is a different company. And because we're building the technology in the background, suddenly we are this fork in the road. Like, you want to really dilute your attention and your talent and your resources in building two companies, or you want to just focus on one of them? And it made sense that we focus on the technology, because that's really our IP. That's where the core of the business. And also, technology moves at very faster pace than a physical product. So we had some revelations with the technology, have some successes that were unexpected to happen this fast. And I think that's unusual with AI and machine learning, that it starts slow and then at one point it hit a pivotal point where it becomes moving much faster. Yeah, so that pretty much that sums it up. And honestly, like, it's been an interesting journey. Market fit been very evident. There's a need for what we're doing. But basically what we did, we went back to the basics. And one of the basic things when you have an idea or a company or a value to offer is that you go and talk to who you think would be your customers. So I went on this mission to connect with business owners or fermentation companies, all the way from breweries and winemakers and so forth. I think we, in a span of maybe 4 to 6 weeks, I talked to over almost 20 of them, and not just in Canada, the US, and even in Europe. the response and the reaction was very, very interesting. We even like advanced to NDA with a few of them because they were interested to learn more. And I got a lot of good information from them. So to me, that was the market fit that every business, every startup tried to achieve that. So we have the market fit. Now the question is how you deliver the value. What's the business model? How do you package your technology so that it brings value to you and to your customers? So now we're at this point. We're unpacking the business model.
Where you started in the top of this conversation, and you were talking about, do we want to be two companies or do we want to focus on one? And it reminds me, and I forget the name of the book, but it's a very famous saying, you know, keeping the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
And I find with creative people, myself included, which is, I'm very thankful that I've got a business partner like Al to kind of rein me in sometimes, because I start down a path and, you know, with this company, and I get very excited and it's going well. And then I have another idea. Oh, we can do this too. And then I have another idea. Oh, and we can do this too. And at some point it dilutes, you know, your main focus and your main strength. You know, if you could look back now and there's other entrepreneurs coming up thinking, oh, I can do this, this, and this. What would that advice be to say, hey, maybe I can save you a bit of stress and aggravation and time because in the end, really, you need to focus on that one area.
Yep. Focus on one area and make sure it's actually needed. So let me tell you about what the company does right now, because I guess people are wondering. Initially, we were making our own fermented beverages with our own. We built an AI that can reconstruct a beverage at the metabolic level. So it looks at what the end product should smell and taste like, and it goes backwards and find the microbial strains that would execute the fermentation and find the blend of ingredients that when fermented would smell and look like the finished product. So that opens up opportunities for different types of products or beverages that we can make. So obviously we're slowly moving away from alcohol as well. So we can ferment non-alcoholic options. And now fermentation is the big industry. There's so many things you can use with fermentation. We're sticking with commercial strains. So we're not going down the GMO approach because a lot of restriction that comes with that. So that's kind of the key message. And what's advantageous to our customers is that there's no need for additional hardware. All the fermentation happens in their existing equipment. So basically, we're an enabler. We enable fermentation companies, which happens to be breweries and wineries and cider houses, enable them to create something unique and different and potentially have higher market value using their existing equipment. So in retail or in CPG, they refer to this as incrementality. Basically, when you create a product that could lift a traditional category. So like the plant-based burger, an example. So McDonald's carries the Beyond Burger. I mean, they're a meat company. But they do this to attract customers and consumers who typically would not come to McDonald's. And that's why CBO, for example, a liquor store, would carry non-alcoholic products. You know, they're expanding a category and creating incremental sales. We fit in this category for now.
Subi, you've talked a little bit about this, but I want to dig deeper if I can. Can you just talk a little bit about how your licensing model works? And specifically, and I hope you can really dive into this, how does the AI-powered fermentation fit into it? And you mentioned already a little bit about what AI does, but I'm really curious about how you see AI impacting specifically what you're doing and maybe the whole beverage industry and from the big picture.
So the key for us in the licensing model is to keep all the complexity away from our customers. So you're a beverage company, you ferment. So the way fermentation happens, usually you put together a substrate, a blend of ingredients that would ferment, and then you purchase a microbial strain, the yeast, or whatever you're using to ferment it. So our model works in exactly the same way. All the complexity, all the science, everything else happens in the background with our team. So as a beverage company, you come to us with your vision or your concept. You want to create, you know, a non-alcoholic version of this drink, or you want to create a gut healthy, because everything we make is under the gut health. You make a gut friendly version of this beverage. What we do, we analyze the aroma profile and the flavor profile of this beverage. And then our platform can reverse engineer it using healthier ingredients, less expensive ingredients, and then creates the microbial strain or design the microbial strain blend that would ferment it. So that our customer receive from us a bill of material, basically all the ingredients that they buy usually in bulk to ferment. They receive a standard operating procedure, which we keep it always simple because they're using their own existing equipment. And then our trade secret or part of our IP is the blend that the beverage company uses or the fermentation company uses to execute the fermentation. So they keep buying the strains from us. So that's our recurring revenue. There's a license fee at the beginning. So we try to keep it very, very kind of similar to their existing model, which is what they do right now.
So what area specifically are you finding the most success in terms of, you know, like what types of beverages, what products are consumers going to see on the shelf that you've had a hand in?
Well, I mean, the only way to answer this question is by interpreting the clues and the signal of what the market is saying. And there are two significant events happened recently is that Coca-Cola launched their own gut health soda, the prebiotic soda, under one of their brands. And then 2 weeks later, PepsiCo acquired Poppy, which is another startup company that, not startup anymore, it was a $1.6 billion acquisition.
I saw that.
So these are like not so subtle clues to tell you that gut health, functional beverages, non-alcoholic is the way of the future now. Like these are the categories that are rising. And when I did my market research, collectively, all these beverages, including functional, including mood enhancement, energy drinks, etc., they're projected to reach over $1 trillion by 2030, which is a good size market.
Yeah. So it sounds like in general, these types of gut healthy drinks are moving more mainstream. That's what I'm hearing.
They are. And I think the consumer now is more educated than before. So our value proposition is that we're enabling companies. So back up a little bit. So the way these drinks are made right now, they're used through blending formulation. So there's ingredients that smell and taste a certain thing, they add fiber and they create the formulation. On the other hand, if you look at the science, you know, fermentation is the best way to create a gut healthy food and drinks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why humanity has been fermenting for thousands of years. But then the challenge we see today is that commercial fermentation is stuck with beer and wine and cider. This is it. That's all you get from fermentation. So what we're doing is that we're enabling companies who know how to ferment and they have the equipment and the hardware to ferment to create these healthy drinks with their equipment, with their facility. Everybody knows now traditional beverages like beer and wine, and the sales is like a plateauing and declining. There's an oversupply. There's so much fermentation capacity exists now, both in the U.S. and in Canada. According to the Craft Brewer Association in the U.S., the reports from last year, there's 49% of fermenter capacity in the U.S. in breweries is unutilized. Many things happen. You know, they invested too much and then the sales kind of like growing. So suddenly you have this surplus. So what do you do with that? So this is where we come in. Like we help them utilize this capacity and creating a product that have higher market value, because now people are willing to pay more for something that's healthier and tastes great. And then on the back end, we save them a lot of money because our fermentation process is designed to be less expensive, less labor, less cost of ingredients, and it's faster than fermenting something like wine, for example, or beer. So we can recreate the same consumer experience using less time and less cost on the back end.
Yeah. And I think you made a good point about they're not investing in new equipment either. I mean, they're using existing equipment. So to me, that's a huge win. I don't have to invest in all this new equipment as well. Subi, so again, I started off the podcast with the statement that this was a bold shift, right? Can you talk to us about maybe what were the biggest challenges or obstacles you faced when you were going through this? And then maybe at the end of that tie-in, what's the most important lesson you learned along the way?
Well, I learn lessons every day. It's nonstop of learning lessons. I think the biggest challenge was when you spend so much time creating a brand, creating, you know, a company, even though you know that the end goal is going to be technology, that brand becomes your baby. And suddenly you're like, you're at this point, you're like, we can't continue with this brand. We have to like shift focus and that brand have to sit in the background. That was tough. That was tough to let go, you know, just letting go. And so, yeah, I would say that was the toughest challenge. And then obviously there's execution, you know, pivoting. I mean, fortunately for us, we invested more in the tech. It just happened that there was more focus from, because kind of intuitively we knew this is really the competitive advantage. But then again, like it was easy to create a product and just sell it. In theory, it was easier. And then now suddenly you have to work with beverage companies. You have to understand really their operations. What are their challenges? What are their pain points? And you have to design your delivery of your value of your IP in a way that helped them and solve their problem. So it took a few months, more than a few months, just to understand that angle. it helped that we actually were producing drinks ourselves. Learned a lot about beverage company. I don't come from beverage, so that was a huge learning curve for me. Yeah, and then so execution took longer. And somebody like me, like I want to move fast, like all entrepreneurs. So I had to slow down for a little bit and not, you know, just heads down and focus on this pivot to understand it, to perfect the execution.
Is there any part of you that with the original brand and going to create an actual beverage company, is there any part of you in the back of your mind where you go, damn, I wish that had worked out. And now I'm sitting on this big company like Poppy and going in. Like, is there any part of your mind where you question yourself and think, if I had only done this, or no, I'm committed. This is the route that I'm going down and I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, we're still in the beverage business in a way, indirectly. Like, you'll never know. Maybe one day with the right partners who can help us with the market side and the distribution and the sales, maybe the brand will come back. Maybe limited SKUs, or you'll never know.
Subi, now that you've pivoted and you're scaling through partnerships and your AI-driven technology, tell me a little bit about what you're most excited about for the future. Like, what's your vision for how you think you're going to be able to hopefully revolutionize the beverage industry?
Well, I'm excited to work with all the beverage companies that are potentially our customers. And I started doing this because I'm so passionate about fermentation, about the wine and the beer and the whole fermentation in general, especially in beverages. So now to go to their facilities and talk to the people behind the brands that I admired and loved for years, you know, it's very exciting. And I've been doing this now, like in the US and here and soon in Europe as well. I think that's like just to get to go behind the scenes and see what the magic happens, you know, from your favorite brands that I've consumed and enjoyed for years. It's really, really exciting.
So tell me, did you have a vision from way back when that this would be where your career path would lead you? Or, you know, is it something you always thought about in the back of your mind? Or did this just happen by chance, by circumstance?
Yeah, sometimes I refer to my company as the accidental company, you know, because
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, like in 2019, there's no way I would have. If you told me you and I would be having this conversation here, wearing this logo, and I'd be like, this is crazy. What are you talking about? Absolutely not. It's like really just following the clues and the breadcrumbs, as they say, and just one thing leads to another. At one point, you know, okay, this is actually have momentum. It's growing. There's going to be a point in time at the beginning when your mind shift have to happen is that, okay, I better take this seriously. This is not a hobby. It's not. So I went through that phase. But yeah, like now, like owning what you're doing, owning it as in like, this is a thing. People are taking it seriously. So you have to take it seriously, Subi. That's a transformational kind of, it's a process. Yeah, but I have no idea back in the day. Absolutely not.
So is there anything you look back at where maybe there was, you know, one thing that happened that really changed your path? Like, do you look back and reflect and say, yeah, you know, that was probably the pivoting point. Anything like that? Or maybe a person that influenced you?
You know what? Like I tell people, like I'm a hack. The only skill that I own and I enjoy is that I know how to surround myself with very smart people. And you know what? That's my secret. But I think the catalyst for this company and the reason why I got on this path is because I had my own gut health issues back in the day. And I went through this process of eliminating certain foods and ingredients and changed the way I eat, I cook at home. And the one thing that was missing for me is having that, you know, social drink, the beer or something when I'm out with my friend on a patio. I could not find an alternative to this. So I created one for me just to solve my problem. Mm. And then later on, I started to notice that people were, you know, my friends were having similar challenges. They don't talk about it usually. It's not a topic of conversation at the time, but then you start to learn and then you start making drinks for them. And then suddenly it becomes a thing. And then suddenly you realize there's a problem here.
Right.
Why can't we have beverages or healthier? I mean, fortunately today, there's way more options than back in 2018, 2019. But I think we can do much better than this. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have technology that we need, both on the biotech and microbiology and AI, to create something much better. And that's my focus. That's what I'm working on.
So Subi, you and I are hanging out 10 years from now. We're having one of the drinks that you're involved with. I've got my Culture Rebellion because, you know, I'm a good friend of yours. So you share, you know, you give me the little swag once in a while. What at that point, 10 years later, like at that point, looking back, what does success look like to you?
I want to be able to help companies create drinks that eliminate all of the issues with food and beverage that's causing ailments, causing discomfort, making healthy delicious and healthy, exciting, because I grew up in an age where healthy typically means it's an acquired taste. It doesn't taste good, but you have to drink it or have to eat it because it's good for you. So I think, without divulging any confidential information, but I think we're working on right now, we're going to reinvent a lot of the categories that people love and enjoy, but they come at a price that they pay later in their life. We want to change that entirely. So maybe that's going to be the topic of another episode.
Yeah. Yes, I can see it now. It'll be Culture Rebellion, making delicious healthy and healthy delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, Al does consulting work if you're looking for, you know, if you're looking for some help there. Well, Subi, we asked you this last time. Al has a signature question, as you know, and we chatted about it and you said, well, I have kind of multiple answers for that. So we're going to throw it at you again, because I think it'd be interesting to go back and compare with your last episode about, well, what did he say last time? Okay, that's important to Subi as well. So Al, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, I'm very interested. So a society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So you're pioneering the fermentation technology that potentially could reshape the beverage industry for generations to come. So what other proverbial trees are you planting? Or maybe you want to talk about, you know, what you're doing professionally or what you're doing personally.
I think last time it was a personal story that I shared with you guys. But today I would tell you, like, it's something I've been hearing a lot from people I talk to. And when they learn about my journey, about my story, because many of the founders that I know in this space, they're all come from biotech education background or machine learning, etc. And then when they know that I was none of those spaces. Wasn't my industry or my training. And they all, like, suddenly they start to come up with how they have passions that they just neglected because they're afraid to make that pivot or to embrace that passion and turn it into a business or not. So I really hope that people look at me and what I've done with my life and maybe get inspired a little bit, not to completely neglect that passion that's been nagging them, and give it a chance one way or another and see what happens. I mean, I didn't just drop everything and started doing this. It was a journey. You know, it took me years to actually fully embrace this as my business. So there was a testing period. So all I'm saying is that if you feel that you have a passion that you're really, really excited about and you're too concerned or anxious to try it, give it a shot. Don't leave your job, but just try it. Don't make it the main thing yet. So yeah.
So Subi, it sounds like what you're saying might be, hey, follow your gut.
Oh, you're definitely getting hired, Al.
I'm on my game today.
I'm going to lose Al after this. Jeez.
I like it. Yeah, we're going to need to create some more taglines.
No kidding.
I love that.
Well, Subi, honestly, always a pleasure. I'm so glad we connected the first time. We've had discussions on the podcast, off the podcast. It's been great getting to know you further. I look forward to continuing many conversations, whether we're recording them or not. For listeners who are interested in learning more about what you're doing, what's the best way to reach out?
LinkedIn. Find me on LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn. It's my only social media platform that I actually use, so you'll find me there.
You'll find me there. All right. Well, that does it for today's episode. Hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. Second time around, we saw it here. Success leaves clues. We'll see you next time.